He is one of the pastors over at Lifeway Church. Lifeway Church, by the way, is over on the Berlin Turnpike in Newington. He is, and by the way, and a former radio co-host of mine, two or three years ago, Pastor Joel Rissinger. Pastor, good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Gary. How are you, my friend?
Oh, great. Let me tell you, when was the last time we had you on the air? It's been at least a couple of months, right?
Yeah, something like that. You know, time flies.
It was around Christmas.
You know, I really enjoyed coming on and talking to you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, are you kidding me? It's our privilege. It was around Christmas that
We talked about the meaning of Christmas, so it had to be just before the holidays, yeah?
So listen, I posed a question, and I think a lot of people would like to, I'd like to know, quite frankly, what is the evangelical stance or position, if you will, on Donald Trump and all the controversy that's kind of surrounded him with, Playmates or porn stars or that. Remember that interview he gave with Billy Bush back in when he was running in 2016?
Access and Hollywood. Yep.
Yeah, he had said some derogatory statements about, women and so on and so forth. So,
sure.
Do we evangelicals get behind? Do they support him? Or would they rather see another conservative candidate?
Well, that's a great question, Gary. So first, I have to say, obviously, evangelicals don't walk in lockstep on everything, including politics, of course, because a lot would even shy away from being involved politically too much. And so I have to speak in terms of sort of the majority or maybe the prevailing winds as opposed to, you know, what all evangelicals think, because I think that would be that's impossible probably to state on any issue, right? But there are a couple things. I wrote down at least three things because you and I had talked briefly last week and I've been thinking about this a lot. I think there are three main reasons why most evangelicals support him. First is the respect of the office of president versus sort of this attitude of rebellion, this sort of spirit of resistance and negativity and rudeness that we see in our culture, probably exemplified most recently in the most blatant way with Nancy Pelosi tearing up his speech behind him on camera to make a statement. That wouldn't have happened 50 years ago, even 20 years ago, but maybe even 10 years ago, for either party to show that kind of disrespect to someone in the office of the president. And Christians, because of Paul's teachings about showing honor to those in authority and to our parents and to others in positions of respect like that, that is something most evangelicals take seriously. So even with President Obama, who I probably personally couldn't disagree with anyone more than I did him politically, if he walked in the room, I'd stand, I would speak to him as Mr. President, I disagreed with him publicly on the radio and other times and other places, and I never called names. So I think that show of respect is one thing that gets interpreted as maybe as agreement with everything he said and does and has said done, whereas it may not be always the case. I think secondly, many of us believe that he became a Christian relatively recently. There have been some pretty strong Christian leaders who've said as much that maybe 4 or 5 years ago or less, even some would argue sooner than that, more recently than that, he came to a commitment of faith. And when that happens to someone, first of all, we give them the benefit of the doubt, most of us. We may, the tendency might be to say, well, he's just saying that so he'll get
for political purposes, right?
Or whatever. But when anyone tells me as a pastor that's the decision they've made, I give them the benefit of the doubt. And that means that I'm seeing their past sins, their past foibles, mistakes, foolishness as covered, as forgiven by Christ. And so, I'm not basing my view of them, et cetera. Then the Access Hollywood video would be an example. We're not looking at that and saying, oh, well, in that case, they could never work with that guy, never respect that guy because of what he did. Well, if he truly became a Christian after that, that's in the past. And then the other piece of that, Gary, is when someone comes to a major faith decision in life and begins to change their life, it doesn't happen, overnight. It's a process. So when he gets up and he calls names or he tweets things that I wish he wouldn't tweet sometimes, or he gets mad or he swears or whatever, I look at that as a baby Christian, you know, under intense pressure. And hey, who's perfect? I'm certainly not. I know you're pretty close, Gary. I've seen your halo. But
yeah, perfect pain in the butt, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I recognize that this is a process, and I don't support everything he does necessarily as a new or baby Christian. And that brings me to probably the biggest thing, and that is the difference between policy and personality or the person. Most of us would say that support him, and I'm one of them, would say we support him based on a numerous, just voluminous set of policies that are in sync with Scripture and our faith, not necessarily just because we like his personality or his past or whatever it might be.
Right.
And you know, some great examples are his stance on sanctity of life versus abortion on demand, or, you know, even more recently, virtual infanticide that some liberal progressives want, where a baby's born alive after an attempted abortion and they want to kill it. I mean, that's just evil. And the president has staunchly, I think he's the first president to actually speak at a Right to Life rally.
Yes, he is.
History.
That's right.
We can't, how could we not support that, right? His backing of Israel versus this anti-Semitic kind of language and policy decisions that have come out of Congress. Again, we understand the biblical view of Israel, God's view of Israel. How could we oppose them, knowing that they're his children, his, you know, his people? And we see the president doing that, and therefore we back him. The Christian work ethic versus socialism. You know, the Apostle Paul said, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Socialism says, no, everybody eats, and the people at the top get, you know, filet mignon, you know. I mean, we can't support the idea of promoting this concept of a welfare state, and the president clearly doesn't do that. I mean, and the list just goes on and on, but it's a matter of policy over personality. So respecting the office, seeing things in the eyes of grace and knowing that maturity takes time, and seeing policies that he supports that we would call clearly biblical and not, you know, the progressive liberal socialist, I might even say communist side of the fence, that those are reasons why we would back him despite his past or his foibles.
Well, you mentioned giving the benefit of the doubt. Okay. And I understand that from a pastoral perspective, yeah, that's probably, you know, the thing you should do. But in a quiet moment, do you ever doubt his sincerity? Is it more of a political move to garner ultra-conservative votes? Or has he genuinely found his faith?
Well, I mean, if I'm honest, there are quiet moments when I doubt everybody's, even my own, I suppose. when you're having a tough day, or you've made a big mistake, or said something really stupid, I'm sure there are moments where we all have that, and we would think that,
of course,
even of other people like him, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. And, you know, the list I gave a minute ago of the policies that he's instituted, that's the tip of the iceberg, as you know.
Yeah.
You know, even I was thinking about globalism the other day, that President Obama was such a proponent of. You know, one world power, one world economy, open borders, you know. The idea of national sovereignty is a biblical concept, and the globalist agenda leads right into certain prophetic things in the book of Revelation, for example, that most evangelicals are not looking forward to, even though we like the end of the story. We don't like what's between here and there. There's so many things like that he's done, and policies he's supported. It to me is somewhat of an indication of sincerity, because if you didn't believe all that, why would you do all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the face of the opposition he's received. Oh, my gosh. I mean,
yeah,
the man hasn't had a minute's rest since he announced his candidacy.
Of course. Right. Yeah, he's had a target on his back since then. All right. So we got about 2.5-3 minutes left, and I want to switch gears because I've got a completely separate question.
Here we go. He's throwing me a curveball.
No. It has to do with Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And last week, as everybody knows, he kind of defected from the Republican Party and voted along with Democrats.
Yeah.
And people are trying to analyze what's behind that vote? Is it the vendetta that he has had ongoing with Trump for years? You know, remember he was promised Secretary of State, and then President Trump kind of reneged on that a little bit. They've had this love-hate relationship. I want to kind of give you, I don't know, about 2 minutes or so. We don't have a lot of time, but I'll give you, I'm going to shut up here and see if you can address to this or try to analyze what's behind, is his Mormon faith behind it, for example?
Yeah, so, I mean, only God knows, right, his heart. And that's why I'm so glad God's the judge, not me, right? Because you know, I can't read those things. But looking at the circumstances and knowing what I know about Mormonism, for example, it didn't surprise me, Gary. And the reason I say that is because most of us that were trying to look at the whole impeachment process objectively and go beneath the headlines, you know, not just listen to CNN and go, oh, guilty, you know, but really look deeper, listen to other sources, you know, find out a little more about what happened in the Ukraine, for example, under the Obama administration as well as under Trump's administration. Most of us saw the facts absolutely did not support impeachment, just not even close. And even Mitt Romney made statements to suggest that he believed that as well when he asked for more witnesses a couple weeks before the vote. Now, why would you ask for more witnesses if you had this ironclad, absolutely certain, you know, case against the president? You don't need more witnesses. You want to vote. But Mr. Romney, Senator Romney, did not want to vote. And then he vote, you know, when it comes down to it, he votes for impeachment anyway. Mormons are asked to believe by faith, as in faith without evidence necessarily, in the faith of their fathers with regard to certain doctrines, like that the northern tribes of Israel came to the Americas, and the Nephites and Lamanites were two tribes that ended up in America, and that led to the tablets, which led to the angel Moroni interpreting them, which led to the Book of Mormon. And all of this is accepted without hard evidence. The tablets aren't around. There's no evidence of these tribes that they ever existed. There's no writings on caves or any other source that shows they even were here. But they're asked to believe it anyway, and they do. They choose to, and Mr. Romney would be in that camp. So the idea of supporting what people you feel you want to be aligned with or loved by or accepted by without necessarily hard evidence, going ahead and committing to it anyway, is very much a part of Mormon life. And so for him to make that switch, even after admitting in essence that there wasn't enough evidence, asking for more, didn't surprise me at all. Whether that's really feeding into it or not, only God knows. But that would be my guess, that his faith absolutely played a part in that decision.
Very interesting perspective. And I knew that's exactly what we'd get, you know, and having have been your co-host on AM radio back a few years ago. And it was radio waves miss you, brother. We got to get you. We got to get you on, man. We got to get you.
I love it.
Get your
I
own show.
I have
or something.
A base for radio. So you know, anytime I can take advantage of that, that's good.
It is so great to hear your voice. Really quick, give a 20-second plug for Lifeway there, buddy.
Oh, we would love it to have people, love to have people come and join us. So we have two services every Sunday. We're at 2172 Berlin Turnpike. Services are at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. You can find out more about us at lifewaych.com, lifewaych.com. And we also live stream, so if you want to test the waters without showing up, you can watch us on Facebook, the Lifeway Church Facebook page. We live stream our messages and some of our announcements and whatnot as well.
And that's the Berlin Turnpike in Newington. Last question for you, 10 seconds or less. Your favorite pizza place?
Oh, that's a toughie. I you know, I like Elm Hill, but I'm biased because I live right down the street.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But that's probably number one in our family.
All right, Elm Hill, that's in Newington.
Yes, sir.
All right, Pastor Joel Rissinger, Lifeway Church in Newington, thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's always a privilege when you are able to join us.
The honor and privilege is mine. Thanks, Gary. Have a blessed